Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So good to be here. And yesterday was the last day of the fast that you started on the 2nd. So, ready for some chocolate ice cream, some chocolate cake, some chocolate coffee. If anybody got any of that, I'll try that too. Thank you, Lord.
What an awesome God we serve. Special Sunday service today. I'm so looking forward to it. And I think from what we counted, we got 7. If there's maybe a few more that I didn't count, I want to get baptized. And somebody said you're going to be there all day. Well, I've got all day. And I got all night, too. I'm supposed to be to work at 2 o'clock, but you know what? I'll call in sick, trust me. Don't tempt me.
Come on.
Because there's something that's just more important than these other things that we have need of. But God is so faithful.
Yes.
And I want to start off in Acts 2:38, and I want to preach the importance of baptism in Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. That's the only name, hallelujah, given among men that we'll see the scripture before and we'll see it again. The only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, I want you to understand this. Repentance is not works.
All right.
Repentance is obedience.
Yes.
Baptism is not works.
Right.
Baptism is obedience.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Faith is not works. Faith is obedience. Somebody say obedience.
Obedience.
You're not saved by works.
No. Right.
Alone.
Right.
So it's not based upon what you do alone.
Right.
But neither are you saved by God alone neither. And that's what the church will preach.
Right. Right.
If you just say, well, I'm just going to be saved by God alone, you're going to die and go to hell. Because He requires you to do some things.
That's right. Right.
But you're not doing it because you're working towards salvation, Brother Skinner.
Right.
We're just doing it out of obedience.
Yes, sir. Right.
We're doing it because we love Him.
Yes,
right. All right. Acts 2 and verse 38. Let's talk about what is baptism. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins.
Right.
Now, you can believe it if you want to, or you can take it out if you want to. But that scripture says that baptism is for the remitting or the washing away of our sins.
Come on.
Right. Somebody said that's what it says.
That's what it says.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Lord.
Three things. Repentance, baptism, and the receiving of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated, Lord. Thank you for your word. Help us in this place today. Open each and every ear and anoint these lips of clay to speak your word. Your word is anointed. Let it fall upon fertile soil, the fertile soil of our heart. In Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Now that word there in Acts 2 and 38, baptize, comes from the Greek word that means or says baptizo, and it means to make fully wet.
Right.
To make whelmed. There's no scripture in the Bible nowhere that talks about sprinkling of water.
No. Right.
There is Old Testament scriptures for the sprinkling of blood.
Right.
But there's no infant baptism in the Bible, and there's no sprinkling of water.
No, right.
Baptizo means to make fully wet,
right,
or overwhelmed in the water. It's a ceremonial oblation, and especially in the Christian ordinance of baptism, and it means to wash.
Right.
Now, invoking the name of Jesus and invoking the name of God didn't start in the New Testament. Let's go back. And on compellingtruth.org, ritual purification by immersion was used in a variety of reasons, including conversion, cleansing before a wedding. They would actually baptize you in the Old Testament when you was getting married.
Right.
And they would baptize you and call upon the name of your husband-to-be.
Right.
When you get married, your name changes.
Yeah, right.
When you get baptized, your name changes.
Right,
you go down Charles Texter, and you come up Charles Texter Jesus Christ. Because we're going to say the name of Jesus over you, and that name and blood is now applied to your life.
Right.
And the Old Testament we apply the blood through the name. Now, we don't have blood. It's water. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So, let's look. You'll find it in number 6 and verses 22 through 27. This is called Aaron's Blessings in number 6. Begin in verse 22 through verse 27. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his sons. On this wise shall ye bless, somebody say bless,
bless,
the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. We've all heard this. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace. Number 6 and 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And I will bless them.
All right.
And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now notice, who placed his name upon them? The priest.
Right.
Or the preacher, we call it nowadays. Set the name of Jesus over them. When we have babies and we dedicate them, we pray for them and we say the name of Jesus over them. Right. I said it last Sunday. We have weddings in the name of Jesus. We do everything. We bury people in the name of Jesus.
Right.
In the water and also in the grave. We do everything in the name of Jesus. Now the first time we see this is in Genesis 4 and verse 26. Now, we had two brothers, Cain and Abel. And Cain got wroth at Abel and killed his brother. And then there was another child that was born unto Adam and Eve. And in Genesis 4 and 26, the Bible said, and to Seth, that was the new son, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. So we see Seth was the son of Adam, and then they had another son, they called him Enos. That was Seth's son. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. After they had experienced the first murder, after they had seen sin running rampant in what they called their day.
Right.
It's a very small group of family. And now somebody was dead. But you know what happened? It was just a few children later and they began to call upon the
All
name
right.
of the Lord. Right. Seth was born to Adam and Eve after Cain committed murder and killed Abel. So you have the first murder. And then begin men to call on the name of the Lord in that wretched state. Now they decided to call God over them. When you say call upon the name of the Lord, it's really calling God over them. Let's look at this very important scripture, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Most people that's been in church very long, especially in this church, and the preachers can quote this scripture because I quote it a lot. If my people, which are called by my name. This implies ownership. He has bought you, and thereby He owns you. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Now my eyes shall be opened and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name, somebody say my name, may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be open perpetually. If you're not called by His name, who are you? That's why you see Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ in Plant City, Florida. You've got to imagine it right now because the old sign blew away and we're in the process of getting a new one. But in my church, I've always had Apostolic Church. I've always had the name of Jesus on there. We first started Beverage Castle. It wasn't for a while. And then I kind of got a revelation. My dad had it on his church. Jesus' name needs to be on there.
Right.
People want to call their churches all kind of things now. And it seems like to me, they want to kind of sleight of hand, if you will. Oh, it's Tabernacle of Praise or this. And you really don't know what they are. They want to take off Baptist and take off Catholic and take off Apostolic and Pentecostal. And you don't know what they are until you get in there. And then some, unfortunately, a lot of churches, you don't know what they are when you get in there.
Right.
You need the name of Jesus applied to your life, to the church, everywhere you go, everything you do. You need the name applied.
Yes, sir.
In the New Testament, we've seen it before, but let's turn there, Acts 2 and verse 36. And we'll read down through verse 40, Acts 2 and 36. This is the start of the New Testament. Some will say Acts.
Acts
is the start of the New Testament.
Yes, sir. Our New
Testament. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, Acts 2 and 36, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, it's just not Jesus, because there was other people in the Bible named Jesus. But he's saying the Jesus that you crucified was a special Jesus. He is both Lord and Christ. So that's why when we baptize you today and we immerse you in that water trough out there, we're going to say, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Not the name of the Lord Jesus, because Lord is a title just like Father and just like Son and just like Holy Ghost. But we don't just say Jesus. I had seen people baptized one time and the guy said, into Jesus. I got a next door neighbor named Jesus.
Right.
His name is Jesus. Name is Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
Now most of them people are respectful of the name, so they don't call him Jesus, they call him Jesus. But it's spelled J-E-S-U-S.
Right.
So we say into the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's different. There's only one of him.
Right.
There's only one.
Right.
And they said, what shall we do? When they heard this, verse 37 of Acts 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know what they're asking? It's a question mark. What shall we do to be saved? What shall we do to rectify this? What shall we do? We've done wrong, but now we want to do right. Notice he didn't say when they asked the question, what shall we do? Oh, just confess your sins.
Right.
Confession's in the Bible, but confession don't save you. Nor did he just say, just believe. Believing is in the Bible, and believing is good, but believing don't save you.
Right, right.
Faith without works is dead. The devil believes in one God and trembles. Is the devil going to be saved? He's not going to my heaven.
Right.
So believing alone don't save you. You've got to do something when you believe. But without question, he said this. Acts 2 and 38. This is what you must do. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
That means to change. Did you know you can see repentance? You can see people change. Sometimes it takes a little longer than others, and this, that, and the other, but you can see people change. He said, number two, you got to be baptized. That's to be immersion, fully wet in water. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. While that is the only saving name there is. That's the only name that can remit our sins forever. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. The name is called over you in baptism. And number three in that same scripture, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You become Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Now, remissions means to pardon. That's when God pardons your sins.
All right.
You can ask for forgiveness, and we should. We can confess, but there needs to be baptism.
Yes.
Verse 39, for this promise is unto you and your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But preacher, baptism ended way back in the Bible. No, it didn't. He said, this promise is unto you and your children and your children's children, and you keep having children, and it keeps going as long as mankind is on this earth.
That's
right.
And with many other words, did they testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now listen, God could save you alone if he wanted to. But he won't. You know why? He requires you to do something.
Right.
There are three basic steps that's given in the process of salvation. And you have just read them. Repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say basic.
Basic.
That's the three basic steps towards salvation.
Right.
Now, you're not saved. This is what my dad used to always say. You're not saved until the pearly gates click behind your ears.
Right.
But you're headed in the right direction.
Right, sir.
And now we've got to live on. Acts 4 and 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power? Or by what name have you done this? A few more chapters over in Acts 4. Now we're going to read Acts 4 and 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and the elders, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, Remember what verse 7 said, by what power or name. Notice the name represents power and authority.
Right.
Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This man is standing here by the power of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'm standing here by the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You all are standing here by the power of Jesus Christ. We can all, there's stories, I could go and tell you stories upon stories of people here today that I should have done preached your funeral. Started with me at 85. My dad got killed on my motorcycle. He should have preached my funeral. But I believe dad would show, my dad would see visions sometimes. And I believe my dad seen a vision of me getting killed.
All right.
And he said, God, don't you take my boy. He's lost. You put me in instead. That Friday, going through stories, there's things that happened. My dad was just acting different. Folks, I would do the same thing for my children if they was lost. I would do the same thing for my children now that they're saved.
Yes.
Lord, take me. I'm the old man. You take me. Live them. They got a good long life left.
Yes.
But we're standing here. When Brother Skinner and Brother Hunt and these other men get here and they're standing, we're standing in the power of God. Why? Because He saved us. He cleansed us. He washed us. He changed us. I don't do the things that I used to do. I don't go the places that I used to go. I don't think like I used to think, act like I used to act, and I don't talk like I used to talk. When I grew up in church, I used to talk one way at church and another way at school. I don't do that anymore. I talk just like I talk here as I talk at work. Thank God for that. He changed us. It's by the power of Jesus Christ. This man is the stone which was set at naught. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Which was the head of the corner. Now verse 4, Acts 4 and verse 12. If you got it, read it with me. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know what he just said? Buddha can't save you.
Right.
Muhammad can't save you.
Right.
Hare Krishna can't save you.
Right.
Nobody else can save you. Neither is there salvation in any other. Let's read. For there is none other name. Everybody say name.
Name.
Under heaven, given among men, whereby we might be saved. Must. Everybody say must.
Must.
I've got a must salvation.
Yes.
The devil tries to mess with you sometime and get you to question your salvation. You know what? I've been baptized and sanctified and living right and doing my best, and I am going to be saved because I've done the things that you do that you must be saved. We should never question our salvation just because you're going through a battle. Lord, help us. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, verse 13, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. You know what? I'm pretty ignorant. Brother Skinner, you are too.
You're right.
Brother Hunt, you are free. We're really not that smart. Now I know we look good and we dress up good and we sound good when we're by the pulpit, but we're really not really, really educated men. So they looked and said, well, something's different about these guys though. Look at what they said. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
All right.
Jesus makes you seem a whole lot smarter than what you really are.
That's right.
Jesus makes you really, really, I mean, He dresses you up good.
All right.
You know, you ever seen some man, he just, you know, he really wasn't a looker, Brother Skinner, and you looked over his wife and you thought, how in the world did he get her?
Every day.
I was thinking, 1, 2, and 3, all of us. You know, our wives are going, good Lord. He must have money in the bank. He must really be a high talker. You know, when I met my wife, it took me a year to even get her to like me. Everybody thought I was conceited, and I've always been kind of short and fat and portly, and I was a preacher's boy, you know. But my dad put good things in me. Son, you're something. You're going to be something great. You're going to be a preacher one day. You're going to be a pastor one day. Now, I didn't feel that way all the time.
Right.
But when I tried to get around people, I tried to carry myself like I was a texter. You know what you want to do now? You ought to carry yourself like you're a king's kid.
All right.
When you go to Walmart, you ought to be smiling.
Yeah. It's Monday. Why are you happy to come to work? You know what I'm going to hear when I punch the clock at 2:10 this morning? I can't believe on Super Bowl Sunday they brought us in at 2 o'clock.
Oh, Lord.
That's what they're going to be saying.
Right.
You know what I'm going to be saying? Hit the clock, boys. Friday's coming. Time and a half is coming. You come in early, 2 o'clock. You can stay to 2 o'clock and go home a little early and still work 12 hours. We got a good job.
Yeah.
You got to look at the good things in life.
Yeah.
We get to come to church.
Yeah.
We've been messing with a water trough and got up this morning. The devil likes to fight when something's going to happen good.
Right.
And me and Dad have got the car early. We're going to head up here and start putting water in that thing. We put, I don't know, about a third of the way full yesterday. And I looked this morning, Brother Luke, and I said, "Well, man, you're going back in the house and get your church clothes. I don't have mine. I wasn't planning on going back home." I said, "The trailer tires are
happy.
You old devil. There's probably 100 gallons of water in there. There ain't no quick way to empty it and throw it in the vehicle." But thank God yesterday when I was in the Home Depot yesterday. I said, "Man, I need an air pump to air up some tires." I looked over and had a Ryobi air pump battery operated. And I bought that thing yesterday and I put that thing in there. It wasn't long. I sprang in the truck and hit it. Then I said, "Dad, you're leaving already?" I said, "Man, that thing's quick." So we made it and put water in the water trough. Almost let it run over. The devil likes to fight when something good is going to happen. But you got to make up your mind. You know what? I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. Why? I'm not doing this because, you know, we're not, everybody we baptize today, we're not baptizing because they're perfect.
Right.
We're not baptizing because they're right.
Right.
We're baptizing because they're headed in the right direction.
Yes. Yes.
And you know what? Today, Brother Skinner, if we baptize me again, you can say the same thing about me. I'm headed in the right direction. I'm not perfect yet. But I'm still trying to be that way. I'm trying to get that way. I'm serving a perfect master. Oh, he's a good God. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
1 Peter. Turn there, 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verses 12 through about 22. Now, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. I'm going to read a little quickly. And you'll find me about 1 Peter 3 and 21 is going to be an important one. Let's look at this. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?
All right.
But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you by reason of the hope, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that might be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ also hath once offered sins," or if I say sins,
then,
"for the just and unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickening by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." Somebody say that's the sinners.
Yeah.
Because they're in prison. They're in prison of sin. Yeah. Verse 20, "But sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was prepared, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved." By what? Faith. Noah, you found grace in my sight. Now look at this. Noah found what other folks didn't have.
Right.
Noah found favor because Noah was faithful to God.
Yeah.
But God said, "Noah, I want you to build a boat." Somebody just preached about this not too long ago. He told them how tall, how wide, how long, how many floors, how many doors, how many windows. Pitch it within and without. Now what happened if Noah just would have got tired and not done it just like God said he would?
Right.
Did you know, by a matter of fact, right now the ships are still built on the same pattern?
Right.
You take the length
and the width and the height, and you add them together, and ships are still built on that same pattern. Five times as long as it is wide, or whatever it is.
Right.
And three times as high as it is long. They're still they're built on that same pattern. You know why? Because God knows what He's doing.
That's right.
And God knew, hey, and it would have held a whole lot more people than what it held.
Yes.
Right.
God was preparing Noah. You know why I'm preaching today? You know why I'm faithful today? Because I'm preparing the ark of safety for my family.
Yeah.
And these preachers are preparing an ark. And these men are preparing an ark of safety for their children.
Yes, sir.
We're doing what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
They were saved by water. That's what the Bible said.
Right.
And that is New Testament. Now look at verse 1 Peter 3:21. Now, I'm not going to argue with the Bible. This is our focus verse. The like figure. What was the figure? The water.
Right.
The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Right.
Preacher, baptism don't save you. My Bible says it does.
That's right.
And that's New Testament, by the way.
Yeah.
Somebody say it saves us.
It saves us.
Now remember, don't throw the alone out there. That's man's idea to start putting alone. Faith alone. God alone.
Right.
Baptism alone. There's nothing alone that saves you. Like I said before, God alone could save you.
Right.
But He won't.
Right.
He made a pattern. God could have built the ark.
Yeah, right.
God could have come and got Noah and took Noah and his family and took him right on into glory in a fiery chariot if He wanted to.
Yeah, right.
God said, you look like like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. That good conscience can be better translated in the Greek, an understanding.
Right.
A good understanding. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what He's saying? When we put you down in this water out here, we're not taking a bath. We didn't rain soap. Hopefully you done that before you got here.
Right.
You don't go in the water dirty and come up clean.
Right.
In the flesh.
Right.
You do in the spirit.
That's right.
It's a spiritual thing. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It don't matter how muddy the river.
Right.
You can go in some old clay river somewhere up in Colorado and come out and have dirt by your nest or whatever and clay and junk on your head. You know what? But you're clean in the spirit. So He said, this isn't the washing of the filth of the flesh. This is washing the filth of the Spirit. Verse 22, who is gone into heaven, I'm going to say Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
And is on the right hand of God. That's authority and power. He didn't say there was two gods. There's only one.
Right.
Remember, when it says right hand, it means authority and power and strength. When you go to court, and I don't even know, I ain't been to court in a long time, if you lay your hand on the Bible, but when they told you, if you had to promise or swear or whatever, I didn't swear, I told them I don't swear because that book says that the heavens is His throne and the earth is His footstool and no man should swear. But I will solemnly promise. And you put your right hand on the Bible. You know what that means? That's my strength.
That's right.
That's my power. So, what is our power? Jesus.
Right.
He's on the authority of God. The Scripture is true. And therefore it is very important then to know how we must be baptized if baptism saves us. Now note, baptism alone don't save you, but it's a most important step. Nothing alone will save you. Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved. Not grace alone. Finish the verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. What is through faith? That's the process.
Right.
That's the process. When we got married, we call it married. Because there was a date that it started. But we're really still in the process of being married. And you keep on and you keep at it. You're saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Somebody say it's not of works.
Not of works.
Lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I don't do good works to be saved. I do good works because I am saved.
Right.
I don't do good works because I'm trying to climb some gospel ladder and therefore I'm higher than you. That's not the way God works.
No. No, not even.
Hopefully, those that have been in the church a long time are doing a little bit more good works than those that just started.
Right.
Because those that just started are called babies. They're goo-goo and gaga. Sam, I get so tickled because he's so passionate. That's passive. Man, get that thing out of your mouth so you can speak. You get it out of his mouth, you know what? It's a little bit better, but still.
Right.
Be glad when you learn to speak English. So we can just understand what you say. His mom thinks she knows, but she don't know neither. She'll give him a juice and he's going, give him this, give him bread, give him that, give him everything. Until we get what he wants, she can't understand him better than I can. We're just trying to figure something out. Did you cook one yourself? Mm-hmm. Well, it smells awful bad. I wish he could tell us.
Right.
I do good works because I am saved.
Right.
Because I love God.
Yes.
Not because I'm trying to achieve something better than Christ. We're no better than the bum on the street.
Right.
We're no better than people that live out here in the parks.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
We're no better than them, Brother Skinner. If one of them comes up today and we baptize him in Jesus' name and he gets the Holy Ghost, he's just as saved as we are. Now the repentance has to happen. Now other things will happen. But he's just as saved
right.
as we are.
All right. right.
Aren't you glad God works that way?
Amen.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. John 3 and verse 1. We've got to go. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
Yes.
The same came to Jesus by night. Now, he was a ruler of the Jews, and there was things talked about this Jesus. So he said, I'm going to go kind of by night. Nobody's going to know where I'm going.
That's right.
I just want to find out for myself. Because if they found out that he was with Jesus, he was going to be in trouble.
Yes.
He'd probably lose some street cred, if you call it. So he came by night, and he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now listen, he comes to Jesus by night and Jesus is kind of perceiving what's going on. And so Jesus just cuts straight to the chase. There's no need in me talking about who I am and who you are. You come by night, you're a ruler, you're wanting something. So I'm just going to go, boom, right where it needs to be. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, Now can a man be born when he was old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Wait a minute now, I'm a whole lot bigger than what I used to be. When I came out, I'm a whole lot bigger, trust me.
Right.
Now how can we go back in? So Jesus clarifies a little bit better in John 3 and 5. Somebody say John 3 and 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is spirit. When we was born to flesh, mom and daddy gave us a fleshly name. When we're born again of the Spirit, we get a heavenly name. We now take on the nature of Christ.
Right.
That's why it's important that you come to church. Because you learn how to be like your daddy by your daddy's teachings.
Right.
You learn how to be like your mama by your mama's teachings. And you learn how to be God and like God by God's teachings.
Right.
Yes.
Now someone has suggested and said, well, this being a good born again of the water and the Spirit, your first birth is when the water broke and you was born in. Not true.
Right.
The angels in heaven are not born. Jesus said, unless you're born again of the water and Spirit, you cannot see heaven. How does the angel see heaven? They're not born of water.
Right.
In the natural. He's not talking about the natural birth. He's talking about a spiritual birth.
Yeah.
When you're put in water again, you're born what we call born again. Have you been born again? People say that all over the world in churches. Have you been born again? Why? It's symbolic of being born the second time.
Yes.
Someone say you must be careful preaching and teaching that baptism is necessary for salvation. You know what I say? Don't believe any man or any angel that preaches any other way.
That's right.
Galatians 1 and 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that hath called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Galatians 1 and 8. But though we... or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And I say it before, and now I say it again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that we have than we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I speak to please men? For yet if I please men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. You know what that accursed means? That means excommunicated. That means to ban. It's mentioned six times in the New Testament. When we started, you know, many know we had a church building, this, that, and the other, and pastor ended up dissolving the church, sold the building, all this stuff. We started Little Beverage Castle. We met a man uptown, and we got to talking, and he said, well, I'm a preacher too. And we talked about oneness, because I wanted to lay out, you know, we got kind of that relationship, and he said, I told him what happened. I said, well, I'm going to restart. He had actually been to Nashville Church a time or two. And he said, well, he said, I have a little place out back. I have church from time to time. He said, I've got some chairs and some PA equipment. He said, I think I'll come in and join with you if you want to. And I'll bring this PA equipment and all this stuff. And we'll go. Anyway, long story short, he came and joined us for a while. And preached a little bit. I preached a little bit. And we carried on. And we went down to see a play down in Ruskin. Crucifixion play. It was really kind of neat. And when we had got through, he took a load and I took a load. They had a baptismal service. And in that baptismal service, there was a girl that was with him, and she hadn't been to church yet. I think maybe once or twice, and she had. And he let her go get baptized. And I told him, I said, brother, we'll baptize her when I get home. He said, no, we're going to let her get baptized here. I said, okay. They baptized her in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, into Jesus. Now we know that scripture, Matthew 28:19, it says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. It says name, singular. There's one name for the Father, one name for the Son, one name for the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Father's not a name. How many fathers we got here? Yeah. All you guys that are males and have children? How many sons we got here? All you guys that are males and have a mom and daddy?
Yes.
All right. So if I baptize you in the name of the Father, there's no power, no authority at all.
None.
The Holy Ghost has a name. What is it? Jesus. The Father has a name. What is it?
Jesus.
The Son has a name. What is it?
Jesus.
Right. That's right.
So we came home. Had service that Sunday. I didn't let him speak. Didn't let him preach. Didn't let him lead service. Didn't let him go. Did it take long? He said, something wrong? I said, well, yeah, there is. I said, when we was down there, I told you to baptize that lady. You let her get baptized wrong using tithes. I said, she did nothing but just go in dry and come up wet.
That's right.
And I was nice and, you know, trying to be. And I said, brother, you said you stood on Jesus' name. He said, well, do you think you'll be saved if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus? I said, well, I think if I read my word that we're saved by baptism.
Right.
And I quoted the scripture. He said, so you trying to tell me all those people in this world is not baptized in the name of Jesus and gonna be saved? I said, that Bible says if you're not born again of the water and the Spirit, that you're not able to enter the kingdom.
Right.
Come on.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Hey, it was contentious.
Right.
He left. Church chairs was his. PA equipment was his. He left. Next time he called me, I'm here. It is. He's going to call and ask for all this equipment. We're in a small church paying $365 a month for rent. We barely make money for the rent. Ain't no way we can buy this equipment. I was expecting I'll be up there at a certain time on my truck Saturday to get my equipment. He said, well, if you want that, I'll work with you. I said, what's work with you mean? He said, well, you can pay me so much a month. I said, how much? I forget what it was, $150, $200 a month. I said, we'll do it. We'll work a little overtime. We'll do it. So we bought that equipment. Listen, after a while, I got to talk with other preachers and found out that when he was Trinitarians, he would tell you he'd believe that way. When he was what we are, oneness, he'd believe that way. A double-minded man's unstable in all things.
That's right.
Another quick story. My dad bought the big building down there across Festival Ground. Sits 400 people. And when he bought that building, That man got the revelation. The preacher comes and started preaching Jesus' name to that Pentecostal church. There was Pentecostal Trinity. And he got it and preached Jesus' name baptism. And baptized half of the church in Jesus' name that night and next Sunday or so. The Trinitarian folks got up a few services later and said, listen, our name's on the board. We're not on this. It's Trinity or nothing. He got up the next service and preached Trinitarian was right. And the Pentecostals that got baptized in Jesus' name got up and they all left. The Trinitarians got mad and they all left. Left him with nothing. And he sold the church to guess who? The Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ, Plant City, Florida, Pastor Paul Texter.
All right.
And we had about 50 people went there and bought that big old building.
All right.
You can't be unstable.
Right.
If it's the Word, you better stand on the Word no matter what people say.
Right.
You better be right.
Right.
Matthew 3 and verse 13. Now, I want to ask you this question. If baptism isn't important, why did Jesus waste His time? Matthew 3 and 13. Then come up Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of Him. Right. Now listen, did Jesus need to get baptized?
No.
No. Because Jesus had no sin. But Jesus wasn't playing games.
Right.
He was going to leave you the pattern.
Right.
And He wanted to make sure that He done the pattern. So no one could question. Well, why are y'all preaching baptism in that man's name that's dead now, Jesus Christ, Paul? Why are y'all preaching that? Well, he didn't even get baptized.
Right.
And so he comes to old brother John. Says, man, I want you to baptize me. Verse 14, and John would say the same thing if Jesus come to us. You know what John said? Oh, no. I have need to be baptized of you, and thou comest thou unto me? No, Jesus. But Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness.
All right, right.
To fill all the plan, see? And so he done it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. Now look at this. John said, man, I can't do this. And Jesus said, you've got to do it because I've got to fulfill all righteousness just like you got to. And he put Jesus down in the water. And when he picked him up out of that water, Jesus went, yeah. Hoo-wee. Think about that. I would think John's going, oh my. What should have happened? I've done the right thing. He comes straightway up out of that water. Right? And lo, the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and it landed, lighted upon him. And lo, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased. The Trinitarians say, see there? There it is. There's Jesus. There's the Father talking, and there's the dove. Do you think there was a dove? No, the Spirit came down. A dove lights gently when it comes down. The Spirit descended like a dove. They've seen the actual Spirit of God, whatever it will look like, come down. And it just come down nice and easy. Landed upon Jesus. It wasn't a bird. It was the Spirit. And the voice. Who was it? It was the Father. There was the Father's voice and Jesus' voice. But when Jesus died and went back into heaven, there's only one voice. There's only one man. There's only one you'll see. There's not three crosses in heaven. There's not three thrones in heaven. There's only one. His name was Jesus. But at this moment in time, that's what I've told people. You can separate Jesus and the Father because Jesus had a birthday and a death date and a natural body. But you never can separate the Holy Ghost from the Father. And you never can separate the Holy Ghost from Jesus. But at one moment in time, you know what moment that was? Brother Skinner, what was that moment in time where you could separate the Holy Ghost from Jesus? Right after that, he is finished. If the Holy Spirit would never left him, he had never died.
Right.
So it had to go so he could die and go into that ground.
Right.
He was now fleshly body, dead in the grave, but the Spirit was in hell, fighting and redeeming you of all your sins, past, present, and future.
That's
Moses and Elijah, every Christian before them, he was taking care of their sins. He was taking care of the sins of those that was living right now, and he was taking care of our sins.
That's right.
That's why baptism is important.
Yes.
It's necessary. Somebody say it's necessary.
Necessary.
It's so necessary in Acts 19 and verse 3. Baptism was so important that they rebaptized John the Baptist's followers. Acts 19 and 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. John baptized unto repentance. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on what? Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized or rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands on them. And the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Romans 6, we're hurrying. Romans 6 and 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Question mark. No. God forbid. Verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Is that what your Bible says in Romans 6 and 3?
Yes.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried, somebody say buried,
buried
with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
Yes, sir.
You know what that buried actually means there in that verse 4? In the Greek, it don't actually mean the burying that we think in the yard.
Right.
It means to assimilate spiritually.
Right.
Yeah. You know what assimilation is? When you take on the nature of that what's assimilating you.
Right.
When me and my wife got married, we were different. But we was real different back then. Now she's assimilated. Hey, I'm assimilated too. Without her, I'd have Levi jeans on. And a shirt. And a flat top haircut. Cowboy boots if my ankles would hold them. When I got married, I had cowboy boots in my wedding. Didn't think nothing about it. Start looking back from the pictures, and there's a white tuxedo man with a white man, and you see where his ox blood red cowboy boots start right here down the rest of the legs. But I'm not assimilated! Can't tell you how many times I got ready for church and she said, you ain't wearing that. What the world are you doing? You're going to church tonight. Each time. Get your suit jacket on.
Right.
You're the preacher now. I still hear that. You're the preacher. You're the pastor. Watch your language. Watch your tongue. You represent a higher calling.
Right.
You see, I are being assimilated. I'm taking on her nature. I do what she likes. This hairdo is what she likes. Other than the gap job I got at the barbershop. The world that you give. Same person cuts my hair all the time. Same thing I requested. She said, well, she got carried away over here. You must have been talking about scripture or something. I don't know what happened over here. That's her to grow out.
Right.
I dress like she wants me to dress. That's godly and honest and true. I talk like she wants me to talk. That's godly and honest and true. If you serve Him, you know you're going to assimilate into His image as well.
Yes.
Right.
You're going to read His Word and find out what He likes.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes.
I don't go around listening. There's a tear in my beer and I'm... Why does it go?
I don't know.
Y'all know it. Crying for you, dear. I'm on my lonely mind. What the world? What's the world's Christians saying that about? I'm saying about, I'm so glad He loved me.
Yeah.
I don't know why He did, but He did.
Yeah.
I can't blame He did, but He did.
That's right.
And I'm falling in love with Jesus. At Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Jesus.
Romans 6 and 5. For if we, being planted together in the likeness of His death. How are you getting planted? A plant's got to go in the ground, and it goes in the soil, and it receives water and sunlight, and there it grows.
Right.
I said grows. There it grows. We're going to go down in some water. And we're going to be planted. We shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not nor serve sin, not serve sin. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body. What's His name? Jesus. There is one Spirit. What's His name?
Jesus.
Even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord. What's His name?
Jesus.
One faith. What is that? What we've preached unto you. And one baptism. Somebody say one.
One.
How many baptisms are in the New Testament?
One.
Remember, there's three major parts of the Bible. Old Testament, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the New Testament. There's three major parts of the Bible.
Well, not going into the law and the prophets, and you know, you can divvy up the Old Testament a little bit more. Minor prophets, major prophets, blah, blah, blah. But there's really three major parts of the Bible. Old Testament, the four Gospels, and the New Testament. The Bible said that the New Testament does not take effect until after the death of the testator. So that's how you can prove that there's four Gospels and then the New Testament. The New Testament started in Acts and there's only one baptism. And His name is Jesus.
Right.
There's only one name. Right?
Yeah.
We know what that baptism means. That's the same baptism that you see in Acts 2:38. That means to make fully wet. Now, Colossians 2 and verse 8, we're hurrying. The kids are coming in. We're hurrying. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. There's all kinds of traditions in our world today.
Right.
The Roman Catholics will do one thing. The Church of Christ and Church of God, there's traditions all over the place. He said, don't let man spoil you with their traditions. Follow the Word. For in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who did it dwell in? It dwelt in Jesus. And ye are complete in Him. Who? In Jesus, which is the head of all principalities and all powers, and whom also you are crucified with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism. This is symbolic. When you're buried, it's symbolic of circumcision. That was the ritual of cutting off of the excess flesh.
Right.
Baptism is the same thing as putting off of the sins.
Yes.
Alright.
It's a washing away. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also are you risen with Him through the faith of God, of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, He hath quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Acts 8 and 35. Just a few more scriptures. Acts 8 and 35. This was a man named Philip. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip opened his mouth after the preacher showed up and preached unto him Jesus. And they needed to get baptized. Acts 8 and 36. And as they went on their way, they come unto a certain water. And the eunuch looked and said, see, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? Now the preacher's preaching to him about Jesus.
Right.
And when the preacher's preaching about Jesus, they come to baptism. So when you're preaching about Jesus, everybody can be a preacher. Not for pulpit ministry.
Right.
But for street ministry. For witnessing at your work. And when you're talking about Jesus, you should come up on baptism. And they're riding that chariot. And the eunuch looks out and says, well, there's a little water hole and there's water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? Since you said I need to get baptized, let's get this thing done.
Right
now. And what happened? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart that thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Hold up! And they got out. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He said, you know what? I've just seen an angel. But this angel was a little different. He had body and flesh because he touched me on the head and he put me under the water. Whoo! And now he's gone. Do you think somebody would have had a hard time convincing him later on that you didn't need to get baptized? I'm pretty sure they'd have had a real hard time. He said, listen, let me tell you what happened to me. I was reading Prophet Isaiah. And a man showed up in my chariot and I stopped and let that man in. And he started talking about Jesus and he said, hey, there's water. I think I'll get baptized since you said I need to. And I stopped and he baptized me, and as soon as I come up out of the water, he disappeared and was gone.
Amen.
Man, you've seen an angel. Yeah, I did. His name was Philip.
Amen.
God just translated him from point A to point B. Hey, this ain't Star Wars. This is real.
Right.
This ain't Superman and Hollywood stars. This is real stuff. This really happened. But I want God to just translate me into China. No, God puts you here and you stay here. If God calls you to China, He'll make a way and you get a bus fare and you go.
Right.
It's going to be a long ride. Bus, but I have to get on a ferry. John, or James 2 and 7. Now look. Now this is Bible. Everybody say this is Bible. Doth not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? James 2 and 7. Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? King James Version. You know what that's called? That called means to invoke. Another scripture. We'll read it in just a minute. People take it out of context and say you're saved by just calling on the name of the Lord. This is what it says. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Now listen. Holman's Christian Standard Bible. Same verse, James 2 and 7. Do they not blaspheme that noble name that was pronounced over you at baptism?
All right.
Now, most of the time, their translations is not better, but that one is.
Yes.
When we baptize you in Jesus' name, we're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. And we're placing that name over you. We're pronouncing that name over you. That's what the Bible says. Romans 10 and 13. Here's their verse. Oh, I'm going to take you down the Romans road. What was it, Brother Hunt says? Cinnamon candy. Cinnamon candy. I'm going to take you down the Romans road. Let's read Romans. Now, who was Romans written to?
The church.
The church or sinner folk?
The church.
The church that was already saved. That was already baptized. That was already sanctified. That was having some problems. And look at what it said in Romans 10 and 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you just call on the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. Remember, that call means invoke.
Right.
So when we call the name of the Lord over you, we're invoking that name upon you.
That's right.
Right.
You know that word right there? It's the same expression in the Greek as who shall have the name called over you. For whosoever shall have the name called over you shall be saved. See it now? A bunch of sins were named, and the Bible said in Acts, or 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. He's talking about all these sins. And 1 Corinthians 6 and 8, 9 and 10, and then 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. And such were some of you.
Right.
But ye are washed. Somebody say washed.
Yeah.
What does washed mean here?
Baptized.
You mean that you go to my house and we take a water hose and spray it down and hit you with the soap a little bit?
No, sir.
That's a personal joke. Daniel was little, his mom left him, no cell phones and other stuff, and he made a mess of his britches. I don't do dirty diapers. Outside we go, strip, strip, two pieces of tape, and the water hose. Now he didn't get real clean, but he got as clean as he's going to get with me. That's what this scripture is talking about. It's not talking about you're going into this tub and you're going to do rubby dub dub.
Right.
3 minutes in the tub, that's all we're saying. No, this is the same expression. Who shall have that name of God called over you? So he named all these sins. And he said, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you, but ye are washed, being sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Folks, without the name of the Lord Jesus, you're not sanctified. You're not justified and you're not clean.
Right. Come on.
That word wash there is to wash away. That's what it means in the Greek. Or have remitted. It's mentioned two times in the New Testament. Acts 22 and 16. And now, while tarriest thou, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Or having that name of God called over you.
Right.
Baptism is symbolic of the washing away of your spiritual sin.
Yes.
Why would anybody read these scriptures and not want to be baptized in the name of Jesus?
That's right.
We got water.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't got no clothes. Ride home wet.
That's right.
It ain't no kid.
That's right. That's right.
I wouldn't want to take no chance.
Right.
No.
Amen.
Remember, we've already established calling on the name of the Lord or having the name of God called over you. There's only one baptism in the New Testament. Hebrews 9:16. For where a testimony is, there must also the necessity of the death of the testator be. So there's the Old Testament, the four Gospels, and the New Testament. In the Gospels, that was John's baptism. But in the New Testament, there's only one. What's his name? Jesus. It's not a title.
Right.
It's a name. That's why when we sing about the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We sing songs that have the blood in them and baptism and Jesus in them.
Yes.
Why? It's important to us.
Oh, yes.
It's just as important as you teaching your child how to say their name. Now listen, little Johnny. Your name is Johnny, Leroy, Brown, Gilly, Fred, Sexton, whatever. Why is it important that they know their name? Well, in case you get in an accident and you bump your head on the steering wheel and the EMS pulls up and your phone's got a passcode on it.
Yeah.
Son, what's your name? They may be in tears, but they're going to say, Johnny, Leroy, Gilly, Jr., Sexton.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you live? You teach them where they live. You teach them
right. Their
phone number. When we was growing up, so Daddy would give us money for learning a Bible verse. Back then it was a dollar. You can get something for a dollar.
Right.
Nowadays you can't get a Hot Wheel for a dollar. But I remember my daddy said, did you learn Acts 2:38? Then Peter said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Some people want to learn John 3:16, and that's a good one too. But my dad wanted me, if somebody said, hey, you know Bible verse, you go to Walmart sometime and they say, hey, what's Santa Claus bringing you? Acts 2:38. Then Peter said, repent. And that's all I knew. Let me tell you about Jesus. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized. That's all I knew. He wanted me to know the word. Later on, we learned more Bible verses. You know what the second one was? Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation than any other. Deuteronomy 6:4. How many of y'all know that one? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Not three.
Right.
Not three divisions. I know there's lords many and gods many. That's what the Bible said. Everybody's got a Lord and a God. But there's only one. Children of Israel, I want you to know there's only one. What's his name?
Jesus.
When we baptize them today, you know what we're going to say? We baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Yes.
This is not your final step, I hope. But this is an important step
in
the right direction. It helps bring conversion. There's more and more things that we have to do growing in the grace. And then I hope it's not my last step either. You know why? Because if it's your last step, that means you're about to die. But we go on into perfection. We go on. And the Bible talks about those that ever learn but never come to the knowledge of truth. Well, listen, I'm glad. We're blessed to come to the knowledge of truth.
Yes, sir.
We're blessed to know and understand. Listen, folks, not everybody in this world knows what you know. It's a privilege.
Yes.
My dad walked into a little Pentecostal church in Carroll Corners, Arkansas. I went back there as a child, even in my teenage years, before they tore it down. Finally, it just fell down, and the new church was built on it. The new church is still there at that address. My dad walked into a Pentecostal revival. There was trouble in the home. There was going to be a separation if my dad didn't change and all of this. My dad went to church. He had been raised by a sharecropping family. They traveled here and traveled there and went to any church that would help them. But he married a woman that had a Pentecostal background. Her name was Patsy Northcutt. My grandma Northcutt served God, and she, I don't know, I didn't know her conversion story, but my daddy went, and there was a woman preacher, and she was preaching that night, and my daddy went to the altar, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he got saved. And he went out and threw his television away. His cigarettes didn't come so easy. My dad said, I was struggling with those old cancer sticks. He said, I was struggling with a little scanner. And he said, God, I want you to deliver me from cigarettes that I'll never have this issue again. He said he went to bed one night and he got up the next morning and he said he smelled somebody smoking and it smelled like dirty socks right stuck into his nose. He never smoked another one. God delivered him and set him free. And he went home and cleaned his house. People told him, you'll never serve God. And you know what he did? He kept on and he kept on and he kept on until the day he died. Let's all stand. It's a very important thing that we follow Scripture and what it says. It's a very, and it's emphatic in Scripture. Listen, I don't want to go back and talk about your grandmas and your grandpas and everybody else and what they believed and all that stuff. All of my family haven't walked this way. And I want to make sure I walk it. And I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a legacy of truth. Amen. We may be only one of the few beacons of truth in Plant City, Florida. But let it shine. I got a call this week and I didn't answer. Called again, left a voicemail. Church is closed down. Ain't seen no church sign. I finally texted back yesterday. Church still going strong. Wind blows sign away, ordering new one.
Right.
You know how long it's been that way? Ever since I was 29 years old. And before that, 10 years. And then before that, my dad, 11 years. And we're still here, and we're going strong. You know, maybe a few years, and I just text him, church building no longer there. We're in a brand new one. That may be whoever else.
Yeah.
Makes no difference. But we're not closing down, and we're not stopping. You know why? Because we're doing the right thing. And you follow after God. When it's not popular, you follow after God. When the money don't seem like it's coming, you follow after God. When the people are down, you follow God. When the people is up, you follow God. You just keep following after God. Keep leading your family in the truth. Because truth. We're looking at that as a scripture, by the way, to put on a new church sign. John 8:32. The truth shall make you free. Lift your hands and talk to the Lord right now. Lord,
thank you, Lord.
We thank you for truth. Oh, God, it's in your precious name, in the name of Jesus. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, we need you in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, talk to the Lord. Lord, we're doing it in your name. Good measures. Press down. Together. One more. Shout me in. Good here.